continue as we started last night. I'm going to read a page or two from some nice instructions from Srila Prabhupada. The theme again is the mission and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. My dear sons and daughters, when I first came to your country, I had no idea how much the American people would cooperate with my Krishna consciousness mission. But now, good boys like yourself and all my other spiritual sons and daughters all around the world have been giving me great hope that I may be able to successfully fulfill my Guru Maharaj's plan. I have formed this GBC for that purpose, to keep the devotional standards at the highest level and at the same time to manage a worldwide spiritual organization. Therefore, Krishna consciousness movement is very important movement. We appeal to the sober class, Dhira, not the Adhira. We are accepting Dhira and Adhira by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of the Goswamis. Just like these boys and girls, they were Adhira. Now, they are Dhira. Adhira. Adhira means without any responsibility, doing all nonsense. Actually, they are rich nations' sons and daughters. They are doing ev, and now they have become Dhira. No illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling. Yes, sir. This is Dhira. You are already intoxicated. You are already illusioned in this material world. If you still go on drinking, where is the possibility of knowledge? You must have sober brain to understand, so this is going on. Therefore, my appeal to all the sober men to understand this Krishna consciousness movement and to join it for the benefit of his personal self, for the benefit of his country, for the benefit of the whole human society. That was a public lecture at a Pandal program in Delhi. Then now it's back to a letter. I thank you very much for your letter dated January 1, 1968. I am so proud to have such spiritual sons and daughters like you, who are so humble in their dealings, but who are so high in their spiritual understanding. Prabhupada is instructing a person who is known to be a little proud. Lord Chaitanya instructed us to be more humble than the grass on the street and more tolerant than the trees and to offer all respects to all, demanding no respect for ourselves. All these nice qualifications make one worthy to chant Hare Krishna. Just try to follow these principles and keep staunch faith in Krishna and in spiritual master, and your life will be successful, without any doubt. My dear sons and daughters, please accept my blessings. I am in receipt of your letter undated, along with your offering of $100, and I thank you very much. You are all very nice, sincere, boys and girls, and Krishna has been very kind to you to send me in this great task of trying to save all the fallen souls from such a dangerous position. At every step there is danger, but under the strong grips of Maya, we forget this. So the task is very great to give real knowledge, Krishna consciousness to everyone. And I am so much encouraged by your determined efforts. Please increase more and more and Krishna will help you. One more. I am happy to hear that so many guests are attending your temple. Actually, that is the same story everywhere. So I have become convinced that our Krishna consciousness movement is finally having some effect on the world. And I am very satisfied with the work of my sincere disciples for assisting Lord Chaitanya in this way. Actually, he has said that this Krishna consciousness movement will spread to every nook and corner of the world. So, there is no doubt that it will happen. He is God. So how can he be wrong? So it will happen. So if we are intelligent, we will assist and get the credit. Otherwise, someone else will. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So now we'll continue with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 13 through something. So Lord Narayan has just concluded speaking to the four Kumaras in the presence of Jayan Vijay, in the presence of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, minimally those persons. There may have been other individuals within earshot to hear the Lord speak. And picture the scene. These are practically as old as Lord Brahma, the firstborn sons of Lord Brahma. It's the very beginning of creation. They're Brahman-realized souls. They, little naked boys, four of them, at the gates of Vaikuntha. They've gone there because they had a desire to see the personality of Godhead. They've never been in his presence, but they had a desire to see him. And now they're seeing him, and for the first time he's speaking to them, and they're puzzled. They don't understand. If we don't understand, I mean, if they don't understand what to speak of us, they don't understand the meaning of his words. And so they're going to speak exactly that. We don't understand. So starting with text 13, Brahma continued, even though the sages had been bitten by the serpent of anger, their souls were not satiated while hearing the Lord's lovely and illuminating speech, which was like a series of Vedic hymns. Question. Anger? From a Brahman-realized soul? Can't be, right? Because Brahman is something of the material world. And they're bitten by the serpent of anger? What happened? So, going back to chapter 15, and you can look this up later if you like, it's text 31. The Kumaras are renounced. They look like they're little boys, but they're consciousness is fully matured. And they're perfectly renounced. So, the verse reads, when the Kumaras, although by far the fittest persons, were forbidden entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Sri Hari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master, Sri Hari, the Personality of Godhead. Now, several things. One is, it's a little unclear, a little puzzling, how it was that they were seeing Sri Hari, Lord Narayan, as their beloved master, because master indicates servant, and servant indicates the mood of service. It indicates at this stage they're not just Brahman realized, but they're devotees. Puzzling. Because in this chapter 15, later on, it describes, as Lord Narayan approached, a breeze from the Vaikuntha realm carrying the fragrance of the Lord's sandalwood paste and tulsi manjaris anointing his feet, carried that fragrance entering the nostrils of the Kumaras, and then they became attracted to the Personality of Godhead. So it's, I don't have an answer, it's a puzzle. But it's stated, they saw Sri Hari as their master. And, you know, again, physically, they're little boys. But spiritually, they're fully matured. Or as the verse specifically says, by far the fittest persons. So imagine them in an adult stature as opposed to little boys. Fittest renunciates, barred from entering the Supreme Lord's realm by these two, Jai and Vijay. So they became angry. So that's one part. Now the next is, the first paragraph of the purport of text 31 speaks of the role of a renunciate within society. And in short, the renunciate is free to go wherever. Just like a child, commonly, is free to go wherever. Where others can't go, children go. And no one restricts them because they're children, little children. Socially, similarly, a sannyasi is not to be restricted from going anywhere. Therefore, the Vedic sociological conception is that a sannyasi should not be restricted. He is allowed to go anywhere and everywhere he wants. And he is not refused any gift he might demand from a householder. No, because he's renounced, he doesn't demand unreasonable things. I wanted this and that and the other thing. If one isn't truly renounced and wears a saffron dress, they may request or demand this and that and the other thing, and that's a disturbance. Big disturbance. But the Kumaras aren't false renunciates, they're true renunciates, and so they should go anywhere and be allowed anything by Vedic social culture. Therefore, although it's speaking, there's some section about Krishna is the greatest well-wisher. Therefore, he is the greatest well-wishing friend of everyone, and the Kumaras wanted to see him. The doorkeepers should have known that the four sages had no other business, and therefore to restrict them from entering the palace was not apt. APT, apt means appropriate. Wasn't nice. It's something they shouldn't have done. So there's the Kumaras, there's the Lord, And there's the restriction. They're very eager, not on the material platform, on the spiritual platform, eager to see the Lord, and they're checked. So now listen, I'll read the paragraph about transcendental anger, which we should not imitate because we're not fixed like that. But here we go. In this verse, it is figuratively stated that the younger brother of desire suddenly appeared in person when the sages were forbidden to see their most beloved personality of Godhead. In person. The younger brother of desire. Who knows the verse from Bhagavad Gita? Huh? Kamesha? Okay. Kamesha? Desire. Krodesha, the younger brother. Rajoguna, that's the mother. Samudbhava, they have the same mother. Contact with the mode of passion, desire. Younger brother, anger. So anger personified came. Now that's material, right? Mode of passions, material. The younger brother of desire is anger. If one's desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother, anger, follows. Here we can mark that even great saintly persons like the Kumaras were also angry. But they were not angry for their personal interests. They were angry because they were forbidden to enter the palace to see the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the theory that in the perfectional stage one should not have anger is not supported in this verse. Anger will continue even in the liberated stage. That means the verse from Bhagavad Gita is the reflection, perverted reflection of the spiritual type of anger. And in this, it's a little subtle, and if you're not subtle, you won't pick up on something that's a little subtle. In this whole description that Lord Narayana gave already, he already used, I'm the master of the Yogamaya potency. So the feelings that he was expressing of affection for the Vaishnava Brahmanas, or Brahmana Vaishnavas, the Kumaras, was a transcendental affection, not the other kind. So there's a transcendental anger that's being exhibited by the Kumaras. That's not based on the mode of passion with material desire. These four mendicant brothers, the Kumaras, were considered liberated persons, but still they were angry because they were restricted in their service to the Lord. The difference between the anger of an ordinary person and that of a liberated person is that the ordinary person becomes angry because his sense desires are not being fulfilled, whereas a liberated person, like the Kumaras, becomes angry when restricted in the discharge of duties for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Hanuman, right? He exhibited anger. There's a very beautiful exposition by Narottam Das Thakur on this point, where those things that are undesirable materially speaking, have their appropriate place in spiritual life, in devotional service, when that are exclusively used in devotional service. And anger is one of them that's used, and Hanuman is the example of using anger. He wasn't used by anger, he was using anger in service to Lord Ram. Now, if we don't have the capacity to be attached to Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, then we can't utilize those things because we'll be utilized by those things. This Yukta Vairagya principle doesn't apply in utilizing such things as anger when our attachment is to our sense gratification, not to service of the Supreme Lord. We can't imitate the behavior of a liberated soul. I mean, it's mundane. It's forbidden. But when there is a liberated soul, they may exhibit these things that look like the material thing, but they're not. And this is on the platform of the Kumaras, who are liberated souls. To properly understand that will help us to understand when Krishna does things. Because Krishna is also criticized. Oh, look what Krishna is doing. Something. He's stealing. And he's running from the battlefield. He's doing things that are forbidden in Vedic culture and even worldly culture. Stealing. But when Krishna does, it's glorious. There's a special name. Makanchor. Ranchor. He has special names for, and he's celebrated. When we do, it's abominable. And, leading into the rasa dance, when we do, it's abominable. And when Krishna does, it's glorious. Because the principle is not the principle of mundane sense gratification. So, the Kumaras were angry. The Lord came and his lovely and illuminating speech, which was like a series of Vedic hymns, was meant to pacify their anger. Transcendental anger, by transcendental words, to move their hearts to another place. But as we're going to hear, they couldn't understand. And they're most exalted. They're not ordinary, like, smart people. They're the bearers of the Lord's Jnana Shakti, and they couldn't understand. Here's what it says. Text 14. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. So guess what? We probably didn't catch everything when we heard what the Lord said. We got something. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But, although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Like, what's next? And what does he want of us? Because that's how a devotee thinks, right? What does Krishna want? You ever have circumstances of life where you're supposed to do some service and you're not sure what Krishna wants? Yeah, all the time. All the time. And it may be evident to someone who knows what Krishna wants, but to us, we don't know what Krishna wants. And we have to act. Because, time is moving and life is moving and we have to do something. So what do you do when you don't know what Krishna wants? Purport. It should be understood that no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead in speaking. There is no difference between the Supreme Person and his speeches. for he stands on the absolute platform. The sages tried with wide open ears to understand the words from the lips of the Supreme Lord. But although his speech was very concise and meaningful, the sages could not completely comprehend what he was saying. They could not even comprehend the purport of the speech or what the Supreme Lord wanted to do. Nor could they understand whether the Lord was angry or pleased with them. You know, a mundane person, or let's say a mixed consciousness person, will take, oh, I'm being flattered. This is very nice. I'm nice, you're nice, everything's nice. But that wasn't their position. You'll hear, you're speaking to us like you're very pleased with us, but we don't know if that's really the case. Text 15, and then they'll speak in text 16. The four Kumaras were nevertheless extremely delighted to behold him, and they experienced a thrill throughout their bodies. Remember, this is the first encounter. They're Brahman realized, and they're before the Supreme Lord, who has just spoken this river of nectar poured into their ears that they don't understand, but they're ecstatic seeing him and hearing him speak. Imagine. They then spoke as follows to the Lord, who had revealed the multi-glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his internal potency, Yogamaya. So that's his platform, Yogamaya. And he's exhibiting his Yogamaya potency through his sound vibrations into the ears of the four Kumaras, who are trying to drink that Yogamaya nectar through their ears. And they're feeling something, although they don't understand exactly everything. But they do understand, we just got a whole lot of mercy. And they want some clarification on, you know, what was the intention of what you just said? In the Sanskrit, here's the first line. Te Yogamaya Arabdha. Arabdha means revealed. Through his Yogamaya potency, he revealed. Parameshtya Maha Udayaha. Maha Udayaha. The greatest glories of the Personality of Godhead. Parameshcha Maha Udayaha. He's spoken of his own glories. And you remember what he said was the chief amongst those glories was his Bhaktivatsala quality. So exalted, it's on the basis of that Bhaktivatsala quality that the goddess of fortune is always by his side. In fact, millions of goddesses of fortune are by his side because of this quality. He's revealed it in their first meeting. So now the four Kumaras are going to speak. Oh, here's the purport. The sages were almost too puzzled to speak before the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the first time, and the hairs on their bodies stood erect due to their extreme joy. So imagine their feelings. They're ecstatic, and they're puzzled. Deeply puzzled. And their quality is knowledge. They don't get it, but they're feeling ecstatic. Imagine their feelings. The highest opulence in the material world is called Parameshya, the opulence of Lord Brahma. But that material opulence of Brahma, who lives on the topmost planet within this material world, cannot compare to the opulence of the Supreme Lord, because the transcendental opulence of the spiritual world is caused by yoga maya, whereas the opulence in the material world is caused by maha maya. We're being prepared here in the third canto to understand little by little this distinction between Mahamaya and Yogamaya. Because they may look alike, but they're not. When we contemplate Krishna, so like we contemplate the deity form of Krishna, or we contemplate the holy name of Krishna, or we contemplate the scripture that describes Krishna, or spoken by Krishna, conditioned tendency is seeing as material, the deity and the name and the scripture and the devotees, and because we're conditioned. The Bhagavatam wants to take us beyond that conditioning to the transcendental position. So the object is transcendental, but this is an explanation to help us get beyond applying a material conception to that which is transcendental. Note that the nature, the essence of the offenses, each of the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name, is to see that which is spiritual as material. Every one of them. Go through the list. Every one of them. That which is spiritual, see it as material. Offense. The devotees of the Lord, the names of the Lord, the spiritual master, the scriptures, the glories of the holy name, the purpose of chanting the holy name, see it as material, and you're in the offense position. Clearing is to try to go beyond those offense, and the shuddha is you're beyond that offense. So the holy name is our primary means of deliverance, with many, many assists in the form of scripture, deity worship, association of devotees, various angas of bhakti. The essence is the holy name, our means of deliverance. To see the holy name, which we do every day, chant the holy name, to enter into the chanting of the holy name in such a way that the material conceptions are gone and the spiritual conception is alive and vibrant. It's a whole other experience. But we're over on this side trying to get over to that side. And the scripture here in this verse, it's helping to take us to that position. And the four Kumaras question is to help us get there, help them get there apparently, but is to help us get there. We know of, so specifically this parameshtya, we know of opulences that are here. A, those opulences can't compare to the opulences of the spiritual world. One distinction is Mahamaya Yogamaya. This is temporary, that's eternal. And anything that's here is but a reflection of there. So we're being given the opportunity through this exchange to understand the real opulence, the real position of Krishna as Bhaktavatsala, and what he meant when he spoke to the Kumaras. So their questions are going to help us get there. Text 16. The sages said, "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are unable to know what you intend for us to do. For even though you are the supreme ruler of all, you speak in our favor as if we had done something good for you." Thank you very much. And please accept my apology. Purport. the sages could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone, was speaking as if he were in the wrong. Therefore, it was difficult for them to understand the words of the Lord. That's what they couldn't understand. That's part of what they couldn't understand. Here's what they could understand. They could understand, however, that the Lord was speaking in such a way, such a humble way, just to show them his all-merciful favor. Jai. That much they understood. He's showing his mercy. Exactly what his intention is and what he intends to do, what he intends for us to do, we're puzzled. We know he just gave us a whole big dose of mercy. He came, he spoke. He spoke so beautifully. What does he want? And that's the right question for the devotee of the Lord to ask. What does the Lord want? When you know what he wants, you may be down here, but you can try to achieve what he wants within your capacity towards what he wants. But if you don't know what he wants, what's next? What do you do? One more verse. The next series of verses are statements by the Kumaras wherein they're expressing their understanding. It's glorification. But, you know, you're up here. Which means, contrastingly, we're down here. You're speaking of us, we're up here and you're down here. You're up here and we're down here. O Lord, text 17, O Lord, you are the supreme director of the Brahminical culture. You've spoken to us, of us as, because you've taken the dust from the lotus feet of the Brahmanas, now your glories are expanding. But, my dear Lord, you are the head of Brahminical culture. You establish it. You are the Lord of Brahminical culture. You're considering the Brahmanas to be in the highest position as your example for teaching others. Actually, you are the supreme worshipable deity, not only for the gods, but for the Brahmanas also. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is clearly stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. There are undoubtedly many demigods, the chiefs of whom are Brahma and Shiva. Lord Vishnu is the Lord of Brahma and Shiva, not to speak of the Brahmanas in this material world. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord is very favorable towards all activities performed according to Brahminical culture, or the qualities of control of the senses and mind, cleanliness, forbearance, faith in the scripture, and practical and theoretical knowledge. The Lord is the supersoul of everyone. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord is the source of all emanations. Thus, he is also the source of Brahma and Shiva. And more of the glories of the Supreme Lord. So this is if you're lost in that space where, what does Krishna want? Familiar space. Hit the pause button and just think of who the Supreme Lord is and his glories and his position. Reorient the heart to our shelter. Nothing wrong in that. If there's going to be some light into that space where you're not sure what the Lord wants, that's a good direction to turn in. Or when you're chanting the holy name and you suddenly realize, I'm not being attentive at all. My mind's somewhere else or all over the place or not where it should be. What do you do? Same. Turn, open your heart to the glories of the holy name. Or, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicates in Shikshastakam 3, what to do when Durdaivam Idrisha Mahajani Nanuraga, you turn to the position of humility, which is what Lord Narayan was teaching to the Kumaras. Humility. He was teaching them. And they're doing it. They're expressing their humility before him. And why? Why are they? Not just because, oh, you're supposed to be humble. But why? Because before the Supreme, that's what real humility, the spiritual conception of humility is not the mundane conception of humility. What's the mundane conception of humility in Christian language? It's expressed this way, turn the other cheek. You've heard that before? Someone slaps you. So then you turn and say, go ahead and hit me over here, the other side. Not like that, but spiritual conception of humility is, in the spiritual conception, the Lord is very great and I'm very, before him, I'm very tiny. That's reality. It's not just how you respond to being abused. It's spiritual reality. So turn your attention to the Supreme Lord and then behaviors that the Supreme Lord is pleased by. And Lord Chaitanya's instruction tells us this is these four things. Shikshastakam 3 tells us behaviors he's very pleased by. Or you can go to chapter 12 and he describes qualities which, when present in his devotee, he's very pleased by. So go there. When you're having trouble not chanting japa attentively, you can just go on, continue to chant japa inattentively. That's the possibility. But that doesn't help you go into the clearing stage. It helps you stay in the unclear stage. So actively cultivate the glories of the holy name and appreciation of the holy name. And when you think of what the glories of the holy name are, you become more attentive naturally. And so forth. Trinadapi sunichena tarore vasahishnana amanina man. So important is that verse, Lord Chaitanya said, that it should be strung on a thread and worn around the neck at all times. Many, many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, a god brother who lives in Vrindavan, I'm not going to mention his name, before tattoos became popular, I don't know if they're popular in India like they are in the West, especially athletes, and you know, they got tattoos all over the place, you know, 50 zillion tattoos on one body. I remember when I was little, tattoos was something like low-class people did. Like when you'd have a picture of a pirate. They would have like a skull and crossbones on their hat and a tattoo on their arm. A pirate. Now it's popular. But this devotee had a tattoo expert make on his body this Trinadapi Sunicha in Sanskrit around his neck. I guess it goes all the way around. I don't know. I've never looked. But taking the instruction of Lord Chaitanya to heart, and so not, I'm not advocating go find a tattoo artist, but take the instruction to heart. It's metaphorical. It's an ornament, like, you know, a necklace or a garland, or wear it as an ornament. It's the ornament of a devotee. Wear it always. These four: humility, tolerance, forbearance, offering respect to others, no expectation of respect in return. That's a big one. You offer respect to others, you expect something in return. I hear it all the time. Like, especially with in-laws. I try to be so nice to my in-laws, and they always, I can never do things right. They're always on my case. Etc. So, no expectation. That requires a spiritual conception of who we are. Otherwise, you can't do it. You know, do it for a few minutes and then you're back again. Do it for another few minutes and you're back again. For a few years and then you try it again and you're back again. Very quickly. The conditioned tendency. So this spiritual conception is necessary. And this hearing helps us gain the spiritual conception. The spiritual conception is the Yogamaya potency versus the Mahamaya potency. And we take shelter of the Yogamaya potency. The Supreme Lord has spoken words explicitly stated through the agency of his Yogamaya potency. So they're important for us, as they are for the four Kumaras, to understand what is the Lord wishing for us to understand from what he spoke to the four Kumaras. It's going to be revealed. Stay tuned. It'll be revealed. But we should want to know, what is it that he wants of us? And what is his intention? It's nice, this little dialectical tension here in a relationship with the personality of Godhead. So, in conclusion, again, the first thing, so this is their first opportunity to directly speak to the Supreme Lord. And they're in ecstasy. They're puzzled. These two conflicting emotions. They express explicitly, we don't understand your intention. And they then immediately go to glorification, making in their mind, through their words, very clear his position. He is the Lord. He is the worshipable master of Brahminical culture. What does the master of Brahminical culture do? He offers his homage and glorification of those who exhibit Brahminical culture. He loves them. He'll chop off his arm if it's causing them any difficulty. And he means it. That's him. And we're being brought into that from the Adhira to the Dhira position. We're being brought into that position where his regard is like that. So what should be our regard for him? It's a loving relationship that we're being brought into. The medium is service, but the mood is love. And, you know, we don't always get it. But this is going to help us get it. To be continued. Any discussion? Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned about that material conceptions in chanting, which we always hold, and the whole offenses are to change the conception from material to spiritual conception.
Yes.
The conscious awareness, that repentance, that actually I am having a wrong conception and therefore I am trying to situate myself in a spiritual conception, mm-hmm. like contemplation.
Good.
Now, there are past impressions which actually we are having.
There are which?
Past impressions.
Which are
actually our modes. So when we actually act from on the spiritual conception, what happens to the past impressions? It's like,
a shadow when you turn on the light. It's gone. Now, the mind is attached and impressions may remain. And in the mind there may be some remembrance of some past impression or some material conception. And then what do? Two things, regret and turn to the light. Not wallow in regret, not stay contemplating that past impression or past material conception. You don't like ponder it, that was interesting, what was that one? Let me see if I can remember what that one was like, etc. Don't dwell on it. And linger and loiter and, you know, stay in the dark place, dirty, foul place, you regret. This is how I misused my free will and was acting with a material conception. And this is the nature of the material conception is a sense enjoyer. Move on. Regret. And then commitment, reaffirm the commitment to go to the light. Tamasima jyotir gama, in essence. That's what to do. Do the refresh on what reality is, what spiritual conception is. Okay? And you just do that as many times as it takes. That may be, N number of times. It may take that many. You just keep doing it. Abhyasa. With faith that light is reality and the darkness is illusion. And you go to light. Take another step and take another step and take another step and keep going. And the other, it fades. You dwell and it becomes real again. Keep going to the light. Our friend the rooster. One day he doesn't know it, but he's not going to be doing that anymore. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.